What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan. Russ, I am so pumped right now. I've got 100 unicorns that are about to be unleashed out of their stall. They're no longer tied up in the stall.
So your online business is finally back online.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that you didn't do this on your own. How in the world did you get it
going?
There's
not a chance. No, if it was up to me, they'd be dead by now. But no, Neil Twa is our guest today. He is the mastermind behind getting my business now onto Amazon, right? That is a huge new marketplace that has never been even touched.
So for those who are maybe listening to this episode for the first time and are like, what are these? I thought these guys were investment guys. What? I thought they talked about infinite banking concept. I thought they talked about passive income. Why are they talking about 100 unicorns? Joey, you got to tell them a little background. What did you buy? And what is the big change that's happening?
Okay. So in case you missed it originally, I bought a domain that's a drop shipping business called 100unicorns.com. I bought this back in December and shortly thereafter got introduced to Neil. And I have no background in online business sales, but I thought this is an easy way for me to teach my daughters how to run a business online. It's something that they love and they're passionate about. And all we got to do is figure out how to connect the dots between buyers and these manufacturers, the drop shippers. And so I learned really quickly that I needed help. I needed a coach. And that's where Neil and his team came in and they said, hey, by the way, that's great. You have the Shopify store, but how about taking it one step further and blowing this business up into Amazon? That is where you get to borrow all the search engine optimization and all the analytics that come with that to grow your business, maybe 10x.
Well, I know through our conversations too, Neil helped you think through like, what are the top sellers and can we go out and identify maybe someone who can make private label some of these.
Exactly.
So these become a part of your own brand. And that to me is where this interview really gets interesting today is you're as a business owner right now, you probably like most businesses have been impacted by the COVID-19 crisis and you're trying to figure out how am I going to get back up and running? But yet if we come back exactly the way we were, we're really going to be behind the eight ball because everybody else is innovating. As a business owner, we need to find ways to increase the value. And what I heard today, Joey, is that for most businesses, they actually have a potential to create a distribution channel on Amazon. They actually could create a private label product that would add value to their business. And to me, that's huge. And I know from your experience with Neil that you see him doing that for you, which makes me feel really confident to interview him and have this discussion today.
Absolutely. And if you're sitting there trying to figure out what your next step is, and this is interesting to you, he has graciously offered to do a 5-day free virtual training. And we want you to get registered today. It's wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Amazon. Okay. And if you're listening to this 3 years from now, we're still going to have availability for you to be able to watch the recap on this. Okay. So please, wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Amazon. let's go jump into this interview with Neil Twa.
Okay, I've listened to at least 5 podcasts. I'm now an expert in the infinite banking process. Maybe not, but yet I would love to talk to somebody about it. How can they do it, Joy?
It's as simple as going to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. You can sign up for a short 15-minute call to see if this is a fit for you, and you can work with one of our coaches to financial freedom. Welcome into the show. We have Neil Twa with the ASIN 360 team. Man, Neil, thanks for being on the show.
Great to have me. Thanks, guys. Great to be here.
Great to have me.
Great to have me. Great to have you have me.
So, Neil, have you gotten Joey's 100 Unicorns business up and running yet? That's what I really want to know.
The simple answer, yes. It's been running. It's just been running a little slower than China would allow us to go at this moment.
they've been getting charged up in the stalls.
Yeah, they're going. It's ready to run. The unicorns need to fly.
I had to give them some special feed.
Neil, every place I go, my 10-year-old shows me unicorns, and I'm taking pictures and I'm forwarding it to Joe. I'm like, all right, add this to the list. This
dude, is your product sourcing.
Yeah, this is a winner. All right, so let's talk about that, though, because you're in the online space. Uh-huh. We're always trying to figure out better ways to create passive income streams.
Correct.
One of the ones that came up a while ago was, man, how to build an Amazon-based business. And you and your partner, Reed, have done this and done this for a long time. So give us a little background as to how you got into the online space and where
it came. Man. Well, I'll try to keep it interesting into stuff that maybe you guys would find or interesting and not the stuff my mom cares about, right? So, you know, back in the day, we're all about the same age. So I only have a shirt that says back in the day with a Nintendo controller. That ought to date me right there. Yes. So back in the day, fascinated with computers, et cetera. Decided to go to college on a music scholarship, had a full ride jazz classical scholarship, and thought that would be my life. And then I realized somewhere around year 3, I was going to be living in a car, poor on the side of the road, right, in a van down by the river. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. I can be a great musician no one's ever known about. And so I was like, I switched to computer science into business. Technology was coming online. At my age, literally computers were just coming in, Pentiums, the internet. It was like, yeehaw, right? But no one could tell me in education. They had no systems. No, it was all just brand new. And so I was like wasting my time. So I jumped in to the corporate world and then just started going fast. Taught myself how to program, how to get online businesses going, started a game server company where we were doing multi-point game servers. We had about 20 game servers running. But I was always working my way in the corporate world at that point because that was how fast I could learn technology that was writing faster enough to go in the corporate world because no one else was doing it. But I got into online marketing around 2009. In terms of paid traffic, big in paid traffic. I was building and buying mobile traffic at the point where we were literally uploading stuff in spreadsheets into servers because there was no graphical interface for this type of mobile traffic. And we were sending traffic buys on little digital apps into places all over the world. And surprisingly enough, the dating app in South Africa was turning over $1,000 a day in profit. So that was a lot of fun. But it was really hard to manage. And so I was thinking, there's got to be an easier way to do this. And I know that the guys that I was playing with and doing this online stuff got involved with some guys in Oklahoma. Long story short, got too involved, too heavily leveraged, and crashed that company into the wall at 100 miles an hour, and which caused and forced me, thanks to the lawyers who indemnified me, to go bankrupt. Yay! So there we go. That was a lot of fun, right? Had 4 children under the age of 5. Wife is pregnant with our 4th child. Business crashes. Everything comes underneath. You know, they're repoing the car at 9 at night, crying pregnant wife, doesn't know what's going on. That's just joy. But, you know, from there, I was like, okay, back against the wall. I know how to make money. I know how to do it online. What am I going to do next? I hopped on Facebook one night, piddling around at 3 in the morning. And one of my buddies was like, hey, I'm selling stuff on Amazon. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And this is around 2012. And then it was, they had this thing called Fulfilled by Amazon, which was in essence, you give your product to Amazon and they ship it, handle it, and manage it for you. Well, the marketing logistics background guy in me was like, wow, look at that. That's freaking awesome. So we started to throw products at Amazon, like just to see what would go. Not really being very strategic, like just throw stuff at it and see what happens. And it was just dumb luck, man. It was like, you know, going from bankrupt to printing money overnight. And so we just started to work and systematize. I met my business partner, Reed Larson, who had just come through kind of that financial 2008 nonsense. So we did that. And for about 3 years, we spent just heads down time every day, all day, just poking the system, doing things. And though we were figuring out how the engine worked, because having that background, at IBM, I had a bit of understanding at the business level. And so as we started to play with that and kept manipulating the system and seeing what it would do, we started to figure out what it wanted. And so we started to work out how to get a bit more of what it wanted to return. And so products, you know, that weren't even so great because we were still sourcing from China, were doing really well all of a sudden. Like products just pew, through the rooftop of the search in Amazon. And in so 2015 and 16, we were building, we had 8 brands going, multiple millions of dollars. Cash flow was just crazy. We made the dumb decision to diversify. You know how that works, right? Let's diversify, which really means let's go down a dead hole and spend a lot of money and back out of it before we lose our shirt. And then we realized that we were just moving a lot of product. And by the time we got to the cash flow component of it, by the time we got down to the very bottom, by the time we got it all figured out, we were way under profitability. It simply was not scalable. It was a hamster wheel of activity. It was monumental tasks moving these products. It just became way too much. And so those businesses we started creating and really took off in 2014, still same products, same businesses running today, still growing organically, still moving. Brands have been sold. Company components have been sold. We've sold other people's companies. And we've just continued to grow and grow those brands, thousands of products, thousands of students now. And we just continue to push the private label product brands now.
I want to jump in there. You talked a lot, and Joey, I was watching Joey the whole time. He was trying to keep up with you. So we're going to have to backtrack for Joey on
this. Put this on slowdown.
All right. So you said a couple interesting things in there. One, yep. You mentioned China, right? Yes. And you used that in a bad connotation.
I did.
Explain.
I did. Well, 3 years ago, we made the decision to get out of anything China-based. It really had to do with supply chain. It had to do with logistics and quality of product. We kind of saw that the growth of those other metrics was really, those other seller types, the drop shipping models and this stuff were really taxing China's ability to push product. And because of that, the quality, the standards of the products and the standard of Chinese manufacturing and stuff was going down because they were trying to increase capacity and quality wasn't of huge importance. We wanted quality products, right? So with quality products, we decided to move our infrastructures out of China and we started sourcing from other locations. India becoming a primary component of where we source from now.
And what, I mean, so that's pretty insightful on your part, considering the fact that right now, you know, China's markets with the whole COVID-19 going on has basically come to a screeching halt. That was a lot of forward thinking that really paid off in your end.
Well, keep in mind, we've been doing this since 2012. So having gone through those economic changes, having gone through 2008, we have been, risk management and capitalization correctly and stuff are a component of our business model. This is not a fly-by-night business model. This isn't stepping over dollars to pick up pennies like you do with the wholesaling stuff and other arbitrage and drop shipping methods and stuff. This was building scalability, brand continuity, business continuity, dealing with risk management, right? And so in that way, you know, forecasting and planning is a component of that. Yeah. And one of the things we saw was to be able to scale, to allow scalability through our brands and products, we needed to diversify and we needed to remove risk in our supply chain.
Okay, so we made, I'm going to jump in because you've thrown a lot of different jargon or things that maybe sounds familiar, but I'm going to try to get you to clarify some things.
Absolutely.
One, you're talking about private label selling on Amazon. What Correct. Does that mean? Say that.
Right. So, explain. Yeah. In its simplest terms, private label would be a brand that, let's give you an example. Nike is considered a private label shoe. So is Reebok. They sell shoes. They compete with each other. They're private label brands.
Right.
You are capable and able of building a product that has a point of difference that you can private label. And to the point, the difference is, say, you know, a better shoelace than Nike has. Private label means that's my point of difference. If I can trademark that and I can register that, then that is now a product that I own. It is my private label.
So now you have some Snikes. Is that what you're saying?
Snikes. Nike Prada Jordans. Protos. Yeah, you can have your Protos. But it literally means affinity. What it actually means is profit, and brand growth means organic and brand affinity. really but
versus. So reality is, though, like, let's say you found a product that you like, but you're like, wait a minute, this could be so much better if fill in the blank had this add-on, or it took this away, or whatever it might be.
Correct.
And then what you're doing is, correct me if I'm wrong, you're taking that, you're getting somebody to produce that good in a way that gives you that point of difference.
That's right.
And then labeling it under your own brand.
That is exactly right. We call it the hey girlfriend method.
Oh, right? Okay.
Why? Oh, yeah. Don't get married to your products or your business, but you can borrow someone else's girlfriend. So in the terms of...
Whoa.
Whoa. Married men here, dude. Chill out. What we mean by that is literally the marketplace, okay, and as I talked about the engine, you know, the A9 and the system itself, it is, again, just data-driven. It's all data-driven analytics. And when you know that a competitor, you know, the Nike, has a product in the system, we can garnish data from the system that tells us roughly how well they're doing, how much they're selling, and what they're doing. It also tells us what they're not doing very well and what people are not liking. And so we can take that Nike and say, okay, literally, Russ, we want to build a Snike. Okay. But our points of difference are enough that as long as that is not a patented product, we can create a point of difference. We can make a branded private label product. We could even get it a difference enough to make it trademarked and then start selling a Snike as a competitor of that product. But knowing the data, we know it already sells. Like, that's borrowing the girlfriend, right?
Yeah. Well, see, this is, I mean, look, I grew up on Snikes. I mean, I grew up with the Palomento jeans and the Knights of the Round Table shirt. I mean,
yeah, man, I wanted those Adidas so bad, but I got the Adidas. The Adidas.
I know what that looks like.
Yeah, well, you know, all of us want that.
Yeah, and for some things, I mean, you know, I know that we're making fun of that, but that's not for most people. Private label products, when it comes to shirts or clothes or something like that, that tends to have this prestige that, man, I wouldn't want to wear a knockoff unless I really had to. And when I tell people that I didn't have money as a kid, literally, I was wearing my mom's hand-me-down Reeboks, right? So, like, I'm definitely not above that back in the day. But when it comes to the keyboard I'm typing on, if it comes to the knee brace that I'm putting on going skiing or something like that, the name brand is not nearly as important, but yet they're sold constantly. So that's where I see.
Yeah, and it gets down to the narrative. Comes in. You're exactly right. It gets down to the narrative. Like, why would I want a Nike over Snikes? Right. Well, because the Snikes make me bigger, faster, and better. And maybe Bobby has one, so I want one too.
Yeah.
Right. Wealth Without Wall Street is a brand. Right. You know, the Wealth Without Wall Street Snikes. That's like too much to say at one time. But
yeah.
Imagine that domain name.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, I could get behind that Snike. So the literal branding is the narrative, right? It's not the product. So when I say you can find a product like that and look at it, here's how we do it differently. Like, we look at the brand, we look at the market, okay? So for example, you guys are guys, your wife's cook, I'm sure. This is probably more for them in this analogy. I don't have, I'll do the second analogy. This is for you guys. The ShamWow analogy, right? Y'all know about the ShamWow and the pitch guy, and it rings it out, and you probably bought one because you thought it was cool while you're up at 4 a.m. Yeah. Learning how to wash your car.
Right. What else are you going to do at 2 a.m. but buy a ShamWow?
Dude, the guy was great, right? I mean, it doesn't matter that he went to prison and they shut the company down, but that ShamWow was like turning and ringing the water. I'm telling you what, right? It was pumping some water. But they don't have any more products. And they don't have another company. Now, take that in comparison. Why? Because that was a one-hit wonder. That was following a trend. That was a spin on an old towel, an old shimmy, chamois, whatever you call it, and those types of things. It was like a different kind of narrative, but it wasn't really thought out. It really wasn't thought out. It was an opportunistic deal, okay? It was a trend writing, which was great, except they pushed it too far and the dude got in trouble. Now, take the narrative of the crock pot. This is back to the original one I was gonna go after for the ladies. The crock pot, like your mom had it, your grandma had it. It was convenient. You put it on this thing, you know, you get food whenever you need it. It's hot. It can be done, you know, hours later. You don't have to manage it. You don't have to slave on the stove, yada, yada, yada. But it's old, man. It's just a crock pot. It's got buttons on it. What cool is that? We're like 21st century. So enter what? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Instapot.
So you do cook in your house, Joey.
I see that thing all the time.
Right. Yeah. So, but it came with a new narrative. What is it? It's not your grandma's crock pot. right? Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the little blinky lights and the technology and the buttons. It has to do with, I'm a working person, a lady, I'm going to get home. I want to cook a good meal. I want to sit down with my family at night and have a hot meal and have a supportive, you know, family, and they're all going to be there and it's going to be great. And I want this experience, right? And it literally built a narrative, a differentiation. Like, this is not your grandma's crock pot. This is better. And that narrative is what spun them out, right? Because their technology wasn't innovative, right? Their technology wasn't like, oh, it cooks for me. Like, it wasn't like, you know, microwave to a degree. It was, you get a hot meal to sit down with your family at night. It was geared towards a demographic of working ladies who want to provide good food for their families. And of course, during the time we're shooting this, now everybody's at home, Instapotting their way to happiness. And before that, well, they may come back to that. I don't know. We're going to see what normies do after this. Is the Instapot thing is basically driven on a narrative, and it's a $1 billion company now. And they're coming out with a second, third versions, and they're doing some innovations and things.
So how do we find the next Instapot? Because by the way, you said Joey does cook. You're talking to the Mrs. Doubtfire of the Murray house for sure.
Yeah, I crush some culinary goodness up in the
Yeah, that guy's all over. But talk to me about the process. I'm sitting here, I'm driving down the road, I'm working out. I'm trying to figure out, okay, private label, this sounds interesting. I like the concept of online business, because right now online businesses are what's crushing. We're in an environment where physical brick and mortar businesses are closing down, and most of them, a lot of them will not reopen. They just won't come back, as they shouldn't, because they are dated, they're gone, they are the crock pot, right?
It was a matter of time.
How do I participate in this? How do I create an online business that allows me to have a private label? Do I have to come up with an idea? I know they call me the idea guy, but to be honest, the only thing I've ever come up with from an idea, from a product standpoint, is like an extra wide couch. And that's because my wife and I would lay next to each other in college watching movies. And I'd be like, man, wouldn't it be good if we had an extra wide couch?
Absolutely. Look, I think it gets down to the idea that number one, you got to have a belief system that says I can sell something online. It is possible to make money doing that, which it absolutely is. Once you overcome that barrier, the next step is realizing that all the data, all the products, and all the opportunities are sitting right in front of you. What you haven't gained yet is the awareness of how to see them. So one of the first things we do is we train the brain, right? We are working on getting through the breakthrough of seeing what we call your white cars, right? How do I find those winning product ideas if I don't know what I'm going to sell? How do I know that this product could even sell, and analyze it? How can I build it into a fantastic brand that people want to get behind and tell their friends about and build it more? And really, it comes through a methodology of training your brain to actually see those product ideas and understand their value. Who are they serving, and who could that product in line actually benefit? Who am I serving in this? It's a difference between selling someone else's product for money, which is flipping pennies literally, and stepping over dollars, because at the end of the day, you don't own the product, you don't own the pipeline. If the business is shut down, it's gone. Versus I'm creating a value, I'm serving a market, I'm creating a brand value and a brand servicing of a particular market that I'm going to benefit with what I do, right? Totally different approach. So to identify them, they're everywhere. It's just, you have to be able to see them. And so we go through a process of training people how to actually see their white cars. It's the analogy that you go down to we call the white car, because you go down to buy a car and you think, I'm going to go get this car, and I've been waiting to get this car. And you get to the dealer and you're like, this is going to be the best car ever. No one has a car like this. And you sign the paper and you're so happy, and you get in the car and it's like this beautiful car you've always wanted. You start driving off the lot. What's the first thing that happens?
You notice all the other cars just like it.
Suddenly, 15 minutes on the way home, you see 10 of the same cars you just bought, but you never saw them before, right?
It's not that unique anymore.
It's not that unique. All of a sudden, it shifted, right? But in that shifts opportunity, because those white cars and those products are everywhere. So the real difference, and the cliffhanger here, is the difference between, is the product successful and capable of being sold and profitably capable of being sold in my business? Really gets to the next step of how I analyze that product and determine whether or not I can sell it for profit and beat my competition, because that's really the delineator.
You know? Okay. Now, wait a minute. So someone is listening right now saying, I love the idea of an Amazon business. I see they're the people that continue to rock on even during a crisis like this. I need to shift. I need to get involved in something like this. But let's say I have zero experience.
Yep.
And maybe not a ton of money right now. Are you going to offer to walk us through something that could help somebody in that position get from zero to having a business on Amazon, even if they have no idea what product? I mean, you said you teach people that. How can we do that for folks listening right now?
Absolutely. So we have a 5-day training. It's free for anybody who wants to check it out. And during that 5-day training, we're going to go through 5 different steps we know have made millions for people doing this in this process. And we're going to take you through those 5 steps. And they are the fundamental foundations needed for you to understand, even if you've never sold online, if you've never been around Amazon, and the word FBA is just as foreign as fulfilled by Amazon, which is what it means. We'll walk you through each of those things and we'll help you understand how to actually get started and what to look for.
Well, can you do that in our community next week?
I would love to. Absolutely. We can get people signed up and start gearing up for Amazon. We'll go over what Amazon opportunity actually looks like, and we'll go through the product and the search engine and how to identify those products so Russ can come along and maybe we'll find him a product live that he can start Snikey selling.
He can't use my unicorns. We got to find him something else. But
I guarantee you we can. I guarantee you we can, because once the door's open, here's the thing. Once the door's open to that mindset, all of a sudden you will go through your house and everything you see is sellable. This is where it gets to be fun. Because that's you're wearing awesome. It, you're using it, you're operating it, you live next to it. You just never shifted your mindset into a way that says, wow, I could brand that and it could be mine. It could be my product.
Hey, okay. Joey, I got an idea for a business.
Go for it.
101unicorns.com.
Oh, no. It's game on now.
Dude, I've already trademarked 100, 101, 102.
Somebody's out there trying to Google domains right now. 103, I got him.
All right, so really quickly, I'm so glad you're going to do that. If you want to register for this, go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Amazon. You're going to get access to this training and what those provide. I think it's going to be amazing. I'm excited about doing this. This is something that I've been interested in, the Amazon space. I really like the concept of coming up with a product that would be ours, and that'd be really cool to have. But talk just really quickly as we're finishing up here. I'm a visual person. I need to have an example that I can sink my teeth in. Can you walk me through just a very simple example of someone you guys have helped along the way? Mm-hmm. You helped them identify a product.
Yeah.
You went out and you found the place to manufacture it. Then you went and sold it, and then something happened next. Could you walk us through just a really quick example, just so that way I can understand what you're talking about?
Well, I have my, obviously our own personal experiences. I have a bunch of case studies. One that kind of pops into mind, I think, is the one we talked about earlier, is most relevant to the community, would be to understand what's possible with Amazon. Like, it's always good to say, oh, you can make 6 figures a month on, or 6 figures a year on Amazon. Okay, so we all kind of sort of understand that is possible. What if you could make 8 figures, right? What if you could do 5 million a month? It's very possible. All right. And it's economies of scale. So there's a guy, Matt Harward. I will give you a link to his video testimonial that we did. And it's an example of how someone who wanted to get into Amazon, owns an existing business, but wanted to open a new revenue stream. He wanted to try to diversify into this space. He wanted to test it out. So he went out into the world and he tried. Didn't have any success on his own.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me stop you before you continue.
Yeah.
So he has an existing business.
Correct.
That does X, Y, or Z service or
he's in
product
the
already, but he just not, he doesn't have any distribution arm through Amazon.
He didn't have anything on Amazon at that point. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so he wanted to start selling brand new. Didn't know what he was doing.
There's an idea, by the way. If you're driving and you have a business.
Correct.
And you are not just pulling over and writing this down, if you have a business that you should be having a whole new distribution arm through Amazon, you got to figure this out.
Oh yeah. No, you got to figure
it
out.
This is an immediate to-do item on your list as soon as you get to the office. Okay. Keep going.
Well, sure. I mean, after 8 years, literally what I can tell you is when we got going, it was, if you didn't have a website, you weren't a real company. Now, if you're online with a business or you have a business that does physical products and you don't have an Amazon account that's selling products, you're not a real business because everyone's Googling and searching and YouTubing and Facebooking. And if they're not finding you, guess who they are finding? They're finding your competitors.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's found money for those who get involved. It really is, especially those who have some brand. So he had some brand, he had some leverage, he had some product ideas in mind. He got it kind of started. He was spending like $20,000 a month to make $15,000. So this wasn't going really well for him. And he was like, I'm going to shut this whole thing down because I can't get it to work. Amazon sucks. You know, it was like, it doesn't work. A friend of him, his got us in contact and we started to talk. And just the few conversations we had sort of helped him unlock that mindset, that shift. And then as he, you know, realized the mechanics of Amazon are not where you make money. Let's just be very clear. It's the business, the brand, and the structure and leveraging that narrative that makes you the money. The mechanics, we can teach others how to do. Like our assistants and employees do all the mechanics, right? They can be taught. The business, the strategy is what he was missing. He was missing how to put those components together because he had the people. He just couldn't fit it all together. 2 months later, he was doing, let's say 3 months later, he was doing 2 million a month. He had 15,000 a month when he came in. 3 months later, he was doing 2 million a month. 6 months later, he was doing 5 million a month. He did 40 million in his first year, sold it to his business partner. You'll learn in the video that that business went on and is doing 60 million after 5 years running the same brands and same products. 5 years later, still now on a growth trajectory at 60 million a year. He started another company after selling that, which is now at 29 million a year. And so he's leveraging Amazon infrastructure to help deliver those products. So it is scalable.
So cool.
Very scalable and very passive.
So you can help somebody from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Who is just trying to figure out how to even get started on Amazon, doesn't have an existing business, but is saying, I need at minimum a side hustle or something to get me to financial freedom, this Absolutely. Baseline, Absolutely. Up to the existing business owner who's already successful, but could leverage Amazon as a new distribution channel and multiply the value of their business by 10x.
Yeah, because brand new people say on average what ends up happening, and he's a great case study, but we don't want to get caught up in what I call the lottery mindset mentality, which is the idea that I just scratch the ticket and all of a sudden I'm a winner, because that's not how real online businesses are built. And I'm sure most of the people listening here understand that. But it is possible to generate an easy six figures. We call it our 5x5 methodology. So if someone who's brand new, has never sold online, wants to learn the steps and processes that we take, they leverage our infrastructure. We have 8 years and millions of dollars spent. People get access to leverage that infrastructure, which makes it go very fast. It's our 5x5 methodology. You get 5 products that can sell an average of 5 units a day. All right, that's 25 units on average. If they're making more than $10 in profit, then they are pulling home $100,000 a year in take home and triple net profit. And the business is growing. And that's a really good way for people who are beginners to see that with the brand, the strategy, and just 5 products, it's possible to do 6 figures in take home a year. And that's really the basis of understanding how to build the business from that point forward, even if you've never done it before. It's
so
a
awesome.
Really great starting block.
Dude, that's so great. And I am so excited to look deeper into this. And thank you for coming into the community and just teaching this, because this is something that's definitely missing. We get a lot of real estate-based passive income streams in our community. And it's always good to add different levels. And yes. No better time, as Joey, you said earlier, with where we are and the COVID stuff, that creating an online business, maybe our business has been negatively impacted and we do need to start shifting with the times. Maybe we do need to create some sort of distribution arm, something that we can sell online to add more value to our business, to maybe make up some ground that we've lost over the last month or two. So I really appreciate you, Neil, for coming on. Again, if you want to get access to this training, go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Amazon, and you're going to have all the links. We'll get the that testimonial video and put it in there as well. And just, man, thank you again, Neil. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing all your information with us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Stallion, I love it when we get to hear what people would be doing if they got to financial freedom. The last one that I got to read, somebody said, I would be driving and picking up my kid every day from school. That motivates me.
That is why you need to be a part of the community that is seeking financial freedom. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. You can join for free today.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.